Kitchen, now working out of Miracle on 34th Street, 1320 Southwest 34th Street, Palm City.
Sunday, October 5th, my mother, Margaret Longworth, passed away. People say she's in a better place. Why did they say that? How do we know? Can we be sure? I believe that my mom is in heaven, but not because she lived a good enough life to earn her way into heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. She's in heaven because she repented of her sins and trusted Jesus for salvation. Join me today in doing the same.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
As a part of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And we and our family have just gone through a time of mourning. And for the loss of my mother, and it's a difficult thing to see someone that you love pass away. It's a difficult thing to see a husband of 59 years say goodbye to his wife, to see sisters say goodbye to their sister, to see grandkids say goodbye to their grandmother. But we do have hope in God, even though it's difficult, even though we do mourn. We don't mourn like those who have no hope. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who sleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So first, I just want to say that this doesn't mean that we don't mourn. We still do have mourning. There's still a loss. We rejoice for the person who has passed on and is with the Lord. And my mother is with the Lord, not because she was a good person or because she was a saint or because she did everything right. As I mentioned 2 weeks ago, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. Every single one of us falls short. There's no one that's listening today. If you think that you can earn your way to heaven by being good, then you have another thing coming. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned. We all fall short of his standard. His standard is perfection. And there's only one person who has ever lived a perfect life, and that is Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross, and he shed his blood so that you can repent of your sins and trust in God, and you can actually go to heaven when you die. And my mother did that. She repented of her sins. She cried out to God. And she actually believed in him and trusted in him for salvation. The Apostle Paul here makes reference to Jesus dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. and how this gives us hope that God is victor even over death, and he's able to raise the dead. He's able to raise us up in the end, and he's able to bring us unto himself. And Jesus actually warned his disciples that they would mourn when he died. But there, he also gave them hope that their mourning would be turned into joy. And we see John chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." And here Jesus is telling them, listen, I'm going to die. You're going to mourn, but you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that rejoice. There were people that were rejoicing when Jesus was crucified. Think about that. There were people that were rejoicing, but the disciples, the believers in Jesus, were mourning. They had sorrow. Can you imagine just what they might have been going through? They really had dedicated 3 years of their lives to following someone who said he was God, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior. And they believed that and they trusted. And then their hopes came to an end when he was crucified. They really didn't understand, even though he had told them that he would be raised from the dead and that this was necessary, that he must suffer and die and then be raised from the dead. They didn't really realize that. They thought this was all over, and they mourned and they languished over this, and they had sorrow. And Jesus tells them that their sorrow would be turned into joy. And it is the hope that Jesus actually was crucified, and he even went to hell so that you don't have to go to hell, so that you can repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways and trust Jesus to save you and forgive you for your sins. And Jesus actually went to hell, and the Bible says that he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he ascended. The Bible even says that he led free a host of captives. And I believe that those that he let free were the believers from the Old Testament who were waiting in a separate chamber. The Bible, Jesus, in one of his parables, talked about Abraham's bosom, that I believe they were like in an upper chamber of hell. They were not in torment, but they were waiting until the blood of Jesus would be shed. The Bible actually says that Jesus preached the gospel in hell, and he led free a host of captives. And I believe that that was King David. I believe that that was Moses. That was the people of old who had believed, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those who had believed in the Old Testament, Rahab, who was a harlot but trusted in God for her salvation. They all looked forward to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But for their sins to be forgiven, they had to trust in Jesus and his blood for that for the forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus here tells them, listen, you're going to mourn. There are going to be people that are going to rejoice. You're going to mourn, but your mourning will be turned to joy. And Paul, in the previous passage from 1 Thessalonians, says that it is because Jesus not only died, but was also raised from the dead, that we have this hope that those who are dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul, also says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when we, if you repent of your sins, if you call out to God, if you cry out to Him, if you ask Him to forgive you of your sins and turn, help, ask Him to help you to turn from your wicked ways, then you can actually have this assurance that when you die, you will go into the presence of God. And if you have family members who have died, who have passed away, you have this assurance. If they had made their peace with God, then if they had repented of their sins, if they had turned from their wicked ways, then they will actually go to heaven. And you can one day meet them by doing the same, by repenting of your sins, by turning to God, by asking God to forgive you through the blood of Jesus Christ, by committing your life to live for Him. When we go through these times of mourning, our hearts can be broken. Good news is that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. In Isaiah chapter 61, first beginning of verse 1, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort those who mourn, to comfort those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, planted, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." And you may know that Jesus in the New Testament, when He was really at the time where He was beginning His ministry, or around that time, He actually went into the temple and they handed Him the scroll. And He read from this passage, and He told them, "Today this passage is fulfilled in your eyes." If you today are brokenhearted because of a loved one who has died, if you are brokenhearted for a loved one that has died a long time ago, or maybe just recently, or maybe you will be brokenhearted in the future for a loved one who dies. And you know, we experience sorrow not just when people die, but we experience sorrow quite often if we have a pet, if we have a dog or a cat. My daughter even got sad if her gerbil died. We are attached to sometimes even our animals, and we feel sorrow and mourning when they pass away, but especially when a brother or a sister or a father or a mother or a child or a spouse passes away. We mourn and are brokenhearted, but we can know that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He was anointed to preach good tidings to the poor, and to heal those who are brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those who are captive, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And one day we have this hope that we again will be joined with them, and we will actually go and be a part, and will be able to fellowship with them if we also have repented of our sins and cast away our transgressions and trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. One of the things that we see when we look at Jesus and his life and the prophecies about him is, and this is one passage that we see from Isaiah that's quoted quite often during Christmas time, is that he would actually reign, and that he of the increase of his dominion there would be no end. And this particular concept is actually echoed by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And you see, death actually came into this world because of sin. If Adam hadn't sinned, we really would not have death. But because Adam sinned, we do die. We do pass away. And this means that we lose people here on this earth that we love. Those who we actually love and care for, we lose them. They die. They go on to be with the Lord. And you know what? I mean, we've talked about this. Not everyone goes to be with the Lord. The Bible says there's two places that people go. They go to heaven, they go to hell. And really, no matter how good someone has been, if they haven't trusted in Jesus, if they haven't repented of their sins, if they haven't cried out to God for salvation, if they haven't trusted in the shed blood of Jesus, every single one of us has sinned, has fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us is worthy of death. Every one of us is worthy of hell. And without the blood of Jesus being applied to our lives, people are going to hell. They're not going to heaven. But we have a hope that we can repent of our sins. We can turn to God in prayer, and God will actually save us, and we can go to heaven when we pass away. But here we see the reign of Christ, that he would reign until all enemies are put under his feet. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. You see, there's coming a day where death will end, and we will not ever again die. You will not see any death. In fact, you are going to live in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. You are either going to be basking in the glory, in the presence of God, and praising him and giving him glory and praise, and living in a mansion and walking on streets of gold, or you will spend eternity in torment. And again, the difference is not whether you've been good or not. The difference is whether you have repented of your sin, because we all have sinned. We all have fallen short of God's glory and trusted in Christ for your salvation. We also see in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, that God will actually end death, and God will actually wipe away every single tear. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 3, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. For a time we mourn here on earth when someone dies. But there's coming a day when, if we repent of our sins and trust in God for salvation, that we will be joined with our loved ones in the presence of God. And there's even coming a day when God will abolish death and will actually end death and end sorrow. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. He will wipe away every tear, all of the sorrow, all of the tears that have been shed because we have lost a loved one, because we have really gone through maybe even some tough times. But especially when we're talking about death, and that's really what we're focusing on today, that God will actually move. He'll wipe away our tears. And there will be no death. There is coming a day when there will be no death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying and no more pain, because what is here today is going to pass away. This earth is just temporary. This body that we live in is just temporary. The Apostle Paul even called it a tent, that he is living in this tent, but there is coming a time where his spirit and his soul would be released from that tent, and he would actually go into heaven and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible actually tells us that God will do this, and the Apostle Paul talked about this in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the work by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So you see here that this body that you have, and I know I've talked to many people who, as they get older, quite often they tell me, you know, things don't work like they used to. Some people even tell me, well, it's difficult to get old. In fact, some people tell me, don't get old. Well, you know, there's two alternatives. You either get old or you die before you get old. But many people who are old are experiencing problems with their body, things that don't work quite like they used to. Some people tell me they can get down, but they can't get back up. You know, it's not a problem getting down, but if they try to get up from when they're down, that's when they have a problem. But there's coming a time where God will actually transform our lowly bodies. These bodies, this tent that we live in is just temporary. As you know, really a lot of times life for us seems permanent, but compared to eternity, this is temporary. So God will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed with his glorious body. You see, we are going to have a spiritual body, a heavenly body, kind of like what an angel would have, or like even God would have. God's going to make this for us. And he's going to do this according to the work by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. So here you see again this concept of Christ reigning until everything is put into dominion under his feet, under his dominion, under his feet. He's going to reign and rule even over death. All the problems that you have are going to go away. The aches and the pains, the things that don't work quite like they used to. The hearing is going to come back. The seeing is going to come back, because God is going to prepare a heavenly body for you. As we go through difficult times, one of the things that we need to realize is that, again, we need to focus on God and on what He has done for us and what He will do for us. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, we read, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." There's another passage in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul says that God will keep us in perfect peace, that we will have even a peace that passes all understanding, that people will look and they'll wonder, why is this person at peace, even though they're going through what they're going through? God will keep us. He's able to keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed upon Him. So when you're going through difficult times, when you're going through tough times, make sure that you turn to God in prayer. Make sure that you turn to God in praise. Look at some of the hymns, sing some of the hymns of praise about God being with us. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, I will say it is well with my soul, because my soul is anchored in the Lord. And it's because we trust in Him that we can have this peace that passes all understanding, because our mind is stayed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us turn to God in our suffering. Let us turn to God in our pain. Let us turn to God as we mourn, and let God comfort us. Let God be the one who actually heals the broken heart, who heals our broken heart, and who makes us free. And let us have hope that one day, when if we have repented of our sins and turned, trusted in Jesus, that we can actually go to be with Him in heaven, even as He is. We will see Him like He is, and we will be reunited with those we have loved. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Sunday, October 5th, my mother, Margaret Longworth, passed away. People say she's in a better place. Why did they say that? How do we know? Can we be sure? I believe that my mom is in heaven, but not because she lived a good enough life to earn her way into heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short. She's in heaven because she repented of her sins and trusted Jesus for salvation. Join me today in doing the same.
Experience resurrection life.
We walk by faith, not by sight. Every time you lay your head down, you may not have got everything right that day, but when you lay your head down, you got to know these things. All he needs is faith. That's the currency.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce, or online at trbanks.com.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
I'm Minister Ezekiel Jones of Lively Stones Ministry. Join us every Saturday at 7:30 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.